Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Back when I was in college, I had two roommates, Scott and John. Scott was already planning on going to seminary before I ever thought about it, and I credit him and our time in the house together as a major reason why I decided to go to the seminary and become a pastor. And then there was John. John grew up in the church, but he had pretty much abandoned his faith at this point. He was no longer interested in the church and Christianity. And something else you need to know about John, he was very impetuous. He would always have new things he wanted to do, just sort of without thinking, kind of go in and do something. He would have a different interest every week. One week he wanted to go join the Peace Corps. And then the next week he wanted to be a lawyer. And then the next week he wanted to go to medical school. And then he would just constantly do this. So I was kind of, what's the interest this week, you know? And he would just do things spur of the moment, like bring home a dog without consulting his roommates. This is not at all to give me any credit or to pat myself on the back or Scott, but, and it's certainly all God's doing, but through our conversations with John, he started to become more interested in Christianity, and he started to really seem to ask a lot of questions, and this was kind of the interest of it, of the week, as it seemed, and we wondered, okay, how long is this going to last? And then to our surprise, he just kept on going with this, and then it was a year later, he invited us to come to his church, where he was going to be brought into membership, just like we're going to be doing that later on in our service. He was being brought into membership that day, and he wanted us to come, and we wanted to go and support John, and we were just amazed that this was happening. And I remember the conversation that Scott and I were driving down to the church. Scott said, maybe John's serious about this. So he was, and so fortunately he has continued along this path. He lives in Atlanta with his wife and two sons, and he works at a seminary. He's very active in his church there. And I was just amazed at the transformation in John. The man I knew back in college is very different from John who he is today. And you may know people like this who have seen a complete transformation, lives change because of Jesus. And I know I look at John and I think, what a miracle. That's amazing. But then, how often do I look at myself and think the same thing? How often do I look at myself and say, wow, I'm a Christian. What a miracle. I know it theologically. I know what Scripture teaches, that we are saved by grace alone, not by works, so that no one can boast. I know that intellectually, but how often does that really sink in to where I'm actually blown away by the fact that I am a Christian? I am a child of God. How often are you blown away and amazed by this salvation? In our epistle reading today, the Apostle John considers this reality. And you see right here in the letter, right here in the reading, he is just blown away. And he has this outburst right here in the epistle. And he says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. And so we are. He's in awe of this miracle. And it's as if he's saying, me, a child of God? I mean, not like doubting, but just in complete amazement that this is true. Me, a child of God? In all humility, he's just blown away by this. And you know, as he's writing to fellow Christians, he doesn't say this sort of matter-of-factly and say, well, and of course, we're children of God. There's no of course about this for John. Me, a child of God, see the love of God, the love that God has had for us, that he would call us children of God. It's a complete miracle to John. The fact is, none of us would be here today if this miracle hadn't taken place in our lives, the Holy Spirit hadn't come to us to give us faith to see Jesus as our Savior. You and I are every bit a miracle as my friend John was. And on this All Saints Day, we celebrate this miracle. We celebrate the love that God has shown to those saints that who have died in the faith and are now with the Lord in heaven. Who have been examples to us in our lives and influences to us. We celebrate the faith that is given to those that we still have in our lives today. And we celebrate this miracle of faith that will be for those who will come to faith in the future. We are all equally miracles. Are there people that you know in your life that you think about them today and you think they would never get it? They'll never become a Christian. He's too skeptical. She's too immoral. She's too wrapped up in her religion. You see, we look at others and we think this. We think there's people who it would be just impossible. How on earth could they become a Christian? But what you need to understand, what we need to realize, is that you and I were every bit as unlikely to become children of God as those people that we look at me that we're skeptical about and think that they could never become children of God. We are just as lost. It's every bit of a miracle that you and I are here today, that we are a miracle. So consider the miracle you are. And I want us to pay attention to the apostles, John's reaction to this gift of grace. Because in this reaction, we get a greater appreciation then of what God has done for us. John understood two things here that just blew him away. First, he sees the depth of his own sin, and this leads him to a greater appreciation of what God has done for him. So he has a greater awareness of the depth of his sin that leads him to a greater appreciation of God's love for him. So in order for us to understand our condition, to see the depths of our sin, it's helpful for us to now turn to the gospel reading briefly. John was there. John was taught this as the other disciples were. They were at the feet of Jesus as he was preaching the famous Sermon on the Mount. And it's in that Sermon on the Mount that he begins the sermon with the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes. And so in these Beatitudes, we really see, in the first four Beatitudes, we notice the depth of our sin. And I'm going to briefly go through the Beatitudes, but really you could spend a sermon on each one of the Beatitudes. So I'm not really giving them justice. But but these words, these Beatitudes, they were for the disciples, but they're also for us today. And I think that kind of gets lost on us. Because when you and I hear these Beatitudes being read, I think what we tend to think of in our minds as these different groups of people. You know, over here you have those who are poor in spirit. Over here you have those who mourn. Over here you have the meek. Over here you have those who thirst for righteousness. But that's not at all what Jesus is getting at here. The disciples would have understood Jesus as giving us different characteristics of the same people. Jesus is talking about the same people in each one of these Beatitudes. These are all people who become children of God. And the first four Beatitudes are the doorway. They're the doorway into eternal life. The key to becoming children of God. To begin to understand your condition. And the Beatitudes are sequential. Each one follows the other. And the first one is blessed are the poor in spirit. Now what does that mean to be poor in spirit? Actually, that is the case for all of humanity. We are all poor in spirit because we are all separated by nature. We are separated from God. We are lost and without him, and so we have a poverty of spirit. We are morally bankrupt. So to be poor in spirit is to see your sinful condition. And to recognize you are poor in spirit is to see your sinful condition, that you are spiritually impoverished. And then Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. The knowledge of who we are, the knowledge that we are separated from God because of our sin, causes us to grieve over those sins. So to mourn then is to repent. And so we recognize this spiritual poverty and then we repent. And then next Jesus says, blessed are the meek. Meekness is realizing that we cannot do anything about our situation. Seeing that you are in a mess of your own making, and there's nothing that you can get to pull you can't pull yourself out of it. Meekness is humbling ourselves before God, recognizing that we need Him to take over. We are poor in spirit, and we mourn over that condition, and we recognize we are powerless to save ourselves. And then Jesus says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, you are only going to hunger and thirst for something if you know you need it and you don't have it. And those who understand that they have separated themselves from God and who grieve over this and know they can't do anything about it, they want the righteousness that will enable them to be in the presence of God. In these four Beatitudes, we see the key to becoming children of God is to recognize that we don't deserve to be children of God. And when you recognize your condition, then you're open to what God has already done for you. John was there when Jesus spoke these Beatitudes, when he preached the Sermon on the Mount, and he was the only apostle who was also there when Jesus was hanging on a cross. And it was only after seeing Jesus hanging on the cross that John could make any sense out of these Beatitudes. Because on that cross, he saw Jesus poor in spirit as he was counted among sinners, as he had the sins of the world, the sins of John, the sins of you, and the sins of me on the cross as he was carrying those sins. He was poor in spirit. John saw Jesus mourn. He saw Jesus mourn as he was being punished for sins that weren't his own. He saw Jesus meek as he humbled himself to be a servant so that he would be willing to carry our sins on himself and die for them. And he saw Jesus hunger and thirsting for righteousness as he was being punished, receiving God's wrath as he was covered in our sins. Jesus saw all this from the foot of the cross. John saw all this from the foot of the cross. And John saw Jesus, the Son of God, sacrificing himself so that he, John, could be a child of God. That's what filled him with awe as he thought about the reality of who God had made him to be. And he says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. We are poor in spirit. We mourn. We are meek. We hunger and thirst for righteousness. And Jesus says, for that you are blessed. When you see your sinful condition and your need for Jesus, and you see what Jesus has done for you, and you trust him, you're blessed. Through his death on our behalf, we are blessed. See what kind of love the Father has given to us. God calls us his children for Jesus' sake. It's an absolute miracle. The fact that by God's grace we are children of God and we belong to him, and reflecting and marveling on that truth, that's what motivates us. That's what gives us courage to be God's people in this world. No matter what you're going through, no matter the difficulties you're facing, struggle with sin in your life, or dealing with illness or some other tragedy or death or anything that's going on in your life, no matter what you're going through, you're still a child of God. Because he has said so. And that doesn't change from moment to moment, from circumstance to circumstance. Again, look at the life of John. He was the longest living of all the apostles. All his friends and his fellow apostles, they were persecuted. They gave up their lives for proclaiming salvation in Jesus Christ. John saw the church being persecuted throughout his days. He spent the last days of his life in prison on the island of Patmos, all because of his witness to Jesus Christ. And in the midst of everything that had happened to him, John could remain in awe of this miracle that for Jesus' sake, he is a child of God. His circumstances didn't cause him to doubt God's love. Where did John get that kind of courage? Where did he get that kind of strength? John drew his strength from the cross. And we receive that same strength and that same encouragement and that same sense of awe when we look to the cross. And there on the cross, we behold, we see the love of God. We see it in God's word. God speaks to us in his word, and there he says, "This is how much I love you. This was what I was willing to do so that you could be my child." And that same word comes to us. It speaks to us in the word as we hear it, and he comes to us as Jesus gives us his very body and blood in his supper to strengthen us, encourage us, and to forgive our sins over and over again. When we neglect God's word and neglect gathering here as his people where we receive these gifts, we lose that sense of wonder. We lose that sense of awe. We forget that being a child of God is an absolute miracle. And when we remain in his word, and we see what, when we do that, we see what John saw. When we see our sins, and more than that, we see the love of God. We see that we are his children. And we see that he delights in us. And when the reality of that miracle sinks into our lives, we can't possibly think of anyone else and think that they could never become a Christian. Instead, we look to ourselves and we say, "Me? A child of God? That's amazing." When you understand that your salvation is an absolute miracle, then you understand grace. We stand in amazement along with the Apostle John and we say, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." And so we are. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we profess our faith in the words of the Nicene.